Welcome to Thriving Entrepreneur with your host, Steve Kidd, third-generation minister and business coach. Join Steve and his guests to get answers to your questions and help break through to the next level in your business.
Hi, this is Steve. Welcome to another exciting episode of Thriving Entrepreneur. We hope that your week has been filled with thriving. Try saying that six times real fast. That'll be a lot of fun for your day, too. What we think about money is so important. And I know a lot of you are saying, I don't want to think about money at all. That's okay. We're going to take it easy on you today, but we are going to dig into how important it is to have a plan for our financial life, and more importantly, how huge of an impact having a plan is on our business. It's imperative as a business owner that you don't just let your money be willy-nilly, let anybody that wants to deal with it, or just, you know, send all the facts and figures off to the accountant and let him handle it. You need to know the flow of your money and what's happening with your money. You need to have a plan for not just how are you going to spend your money or how much money you're going to make, but how you're looking at all of the things with your money, including a plan for how are you going to retire and live comfortably. You know, are you going to really truly live and work until you're 100 and drop dead working too hard, or do you have a plan for retirement? You want to make sure that not just your bills are paid, but that you really, truly are thriving in life. And part of that is finding an impactful way, but also a fun way to really be able to get excited about the money aspects in your life. To help me with this, I'm joined today by Hillary Hendershot. This is a new person that's coming to my life. She actually contacted me via one of the press releases we did. And in going through her stuff, I was like, oh, we got to get you on the show. It's going to be really exciting. She's an experienced financial planner. In fact, actually, if I understand the story correctly, she'll tell us in more detail here in a minute. Her dad actually owned a financial company that when she graduated from college, she at first went to work for. She took all of her dad's experience, all of her experience, and developed it into a really amazing program that she's going to talk to us about a little bit today, because what Hillary wants to help us with and what we all want to learn is how to really truly be financially free. So on that note, I'd like you to join me in welcoming Hillary Hendershot. Hi, Hillary.
Hi, Steve. Thanks. That was a great introduction.
Well, thank you. So, for people who haven't spent the last several weeks reading everything they can get their hands on that you've got, tell us just a little bit about you.
You bet. So I'm the founder and chief executive of Hillary Hendershot Financial. We offer financial mentoring, financial coaching, money mindset tools, and wealth management. So it's a full service kind of a deal. I offer virtual trainings for business owners and also for people in their personal life. And I've been building investment portfolios for almost 15 years now. So I've got a head for numbers. And, you know, I had got started, as you mentioned, in my early 20s. I did go to work for the family business. My whole life I've been around financial advice and financial planning. And I got to a place with my own personal finances where I was advising millionaires during the day and coming home to a pile of bills that I wouldn't open because I couldn't pay them at night. And so it was embarrassing for me. I didn't understand how someone who was smart and had good intentions could produce really bad results. And so I said to myself, I got to be able to figure this out. And this is obviously a behavior thing. So if I can, and behavior comes from psychology. So if I can figure out why I'm doing this, you know, I can transform my own finances. And I was able to do that. The research has been done. It's out there, Steve. It's just that people aren't teaching it in a way that others can really hear it and apply it to their life. I learned how to apply it to my life, totally transformed my finances, paid off the debt, rebuilt my retirement savings, and now I teach that technology as well as all the technical stuff, aspects of building successful investment portfolios. So it's a pretty unique kind of offering.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's so funny how you know, how often we're so busy giving to others and helping other people with their stuff that we forget to take time and look at ourselves and for lack of a better term, practice what we preach. You know what I mean?
It's, well, like,
here,
exactly.
Here's how you can get rich.
And if you've got, if you're an overspender, like I was an overspender, if you're an overspender, that's kind of a ticking time bomb. So you can spin the plates for only so long, right? Until the credit card companies stop extending you credit, or until, you know, someone cuts your salary or whatever that is for you, and then everything came to a screeching halt. And it's like, okay, you're going to pay attention to this now. And many of us have found ourselves in that place, and I just got really real with myself. Like, this is not how I want my life to go. You know, when you don't spend less than you make, life can get tough. You find yourself in situations, you know, the very least of which, my budgeting plan was I spend until the gal at the cash register hands me back the credit card and says, sorry, this is declined. Like, that was my budget skill.
And, oh, wow.
You know, so it's not like that anymore. Hasn't been for many years. But I share pretty openly about it because I think that for people who maybe are in that situation or a situation close to it, you know, money can be really emotional, that me sharing that there's a transformation is possible really helps.
Absolutely. Reminds me of the old saying, I can't be broke, I still have checks.
That's cute. I don't know anyone who uses checks anymore, but I got the point.
Well, I'm old enough that I remember checks. Sorry. Isn't it funny when somebody asks you to send them a check these days? You're like, I don't even know where the checkbook is. Let me see if I could do that.
I know. Didn't you actually mean PayPal? I don't know what that is,
yeah.
That check thing you're talking about.
Yeah, do any of us even walk around with bills in our pocket anymore? You know, it's just like, I've got a card. You mean you don't take a credit card or a debit card? I mean, what am I supposed to do now? Do I have to just go home?
Yeah, no, I mean, and that's one of the things I talk about is money is more and more, we represent it as digital. But we think money, like cash is money, but cash isn't even money. Cash is just a representation of money. Money is something we made up. It's a system we made up as human beings, and it's critical to our lives now. You know, there are people who say, you know, money is the root of all evil, but that's just a kind of a belief system. Money is simply a store of value, and we need it to live the lives that our current culture and society are living. So it's, I think it's important really to understand what money is and what money isn't, but the money that you spend in your credit cards is just as real as the money, you know, the bills that you carry around in your wallet. It's got to be related to how much you're spending.
Well, if you'll let me, I'm actually going to bust that myth for everybody right now that the phrase is actually that the love of money is the root of all evil. You know, you heard the intro saying that I'm a third-generation minister, so I've been around the Bible once or twice, not like my grandfather who read it like 50 times in the last 3 years of his life, but I've heard a few things. The verse actually says it's the love of money. It's actually, if you want to go deeper into the meanings of the words, it's the being in love with and dedicating yourself to your money as opposed to what you can do with your money that is the root of all evil. And it has to do with your mindset. It really doesn't have anything to do with this intangible thing that we give to people in trade for the services they give to us. It actually has to do with your attachment to a thing rather than what's important. You know, you said just a minute ago that you like to be really real with your story because it helps other people. And we talked just a couple episodes ago about how important having people that we get real with in our lives is. And we discount that so much in modern society. You know, it's like, hey, I send them a tweet. You know, that's deep. You know,
right?
So I
right.
Really,
well, you know,
yeah.
And that's me kind of in my personal life as well.
Yeah.
I'm just going to share openly, right? I'm just like, this is just what it is. Because I'm in some areas I'm producing the results I want. In some areas, you know, I'm not. And I'm more interested in having you know kind of what's real. And then let's just be real with each other and see where it goes from there. So that's just a practice I've adopted in my life.
Well, I appreciate that and I admire you for that because that's good for people. That'll help them break through. So let's talk just a little bit here, set up what we're going to talk about the rest of the time together today. Let's talk about how important it is that a person have an actual plan for their money and they don't just kind of let their money run them, if you know what I mean by that statement.
Yeah. So I relate it to this. If you were going to go on a road trip and you got in the car, but you didn't have a destination in mind, what are the chances that you would just start driving and end up in any one particular place, right? You could see in your mind there's a million places you might end up. And so living your financial life without a plan is kind of like going on a road trip with no destination in mind. And you might say, well, that's free and easy and fun. But the fact of the matter is you're going to end up someplace you probably don't want to be. So, you know, money is a thing. It's an actual thing in reality. And so driving results as a person with a financial plan is what puts you in the driver's seat. It's what allows you to say, hey, this is what I need to live comfortably. This is what I want to provide for myself and my family and my future. And this is the kind of life that I want to live. And so having that plan, and, you know, it can seem really daunting. Achieving economic independence can seem out of reach, but I promise you that a series of actions over time, so financial planning or financial success is not a destination. You don't arrive there and it's done, right? Because everyone can make financial mistakes. It's a series of constant course corrections. But once you're on your plan, once you're working that plan, things add up faster than you think. And, you know, with the power of compounding, if you're saving money and you're working in your work life, pretty soon your money, if it's invested properly, can actually make you more money than your salary or wages or profit that you pay yourself as a business owner. So it's important to get on that plan. And, you know, I think we can do the ostrich thing and put our heads in the sand, but that's kind of dangerous. I find a lot of people wake up kind of in their, let's say, late 50s, early 60s, and think, well, I really should have been paying more attention. And, you know, that's a painful place to be because there's not a lot of options at that point. So having your plan and being focused on your plan as soon as you can really can afford you more comfort, security, and freedom later in life.
That's really important that we understand that, you know, people are living longer. It used to be a time when a person kind of, and I think a lot of 20-year-olds still deal with this, that you live your life as though you're going to be dead by the time you're 30 or 40 because, you know, when you're 15, 40 seems like you're just ancient. And then as somebody who's well past 40, I'm 48 now for anybody that wants to know, 48 comes so quickly. You know, you just turn around and you're like, wow, you know, I was just 20 last week, you know.
I know.
It's so important that we think responsibly about our money, you know, up front, as opposed to being in our late 70s and still having to have to work because there's no choice. You know, you're going to literally work until you die because you like to live indoors and eat food. You know, I feel so sorry for people like that.
Yeah.
So I want everybody to think a little bit about money planning and just give yourself permission to take a deep breath. Be okay with the fact that we're not going to tell you you're wrong or judge you or anything. We're just going to give you some insightful and impactful things over the course of the rest of the show here today. We're going to take a little commercial break, and then we will be right back.
I'm looking for a certain kind of woman, and I think you know her. She's an entrepreneur that is highly connected, successful, significant in her own industry, and considered the go-to woman in her community. She's received so much from so many women in business, she's ready to give back to others on their journey, lifting as she climbs. Hi, this is Sandra Yancey, and I'm the founder and CEO of eWomen Network. I'm looking to connect with the woman I've just described who lives in your community so that we might have a conversation about how eWomen Network's proven success system can provide her a platform to elevate her success and ability to support women in business. Our international community of managing directors are influencing the speed of success for women in business around the world. If that sounds like something that you want to be part of or know someone we should talk with, send an email to managingdirector@ewomennetwork.com. That's managingdirector@ewomennetwork.com, and let's start the conversation.
Hi, this is Steve Kidd, the host of Thriving Entrepreneur. I want you to know you are uniquely brilliant, created for a purpose. The world needs you, and we want to help. I work with my wife, Kathy, and together we form the business development super team, Thrive Business Development. We are here to provide you with well-researched business strategies and empowered, step-by-step, courageous coaching to help you avoid overwhelm and break through to the next level of your business. Just for listening to the show, we want to give you a free gift. All you have to do is email steve@wehelpyouthrive.com. We will help you get a free gift and access to specials from all of our guests. That's steve@wehelpyouthrive.com. Let us help you be a thriving entrepreneur today.
Welcome back to Thriving Entrepreneur.
Hi, this is Steve. I'm here with my special guest, Hillary Hendershot, and we are talking today about that horrible, evil thing, money. No, actually, I really think that money and numbers can be a lot of fun if you learn to allow them to empower you. A lot of people, the best thing that they can do is to think about what they want to do with their money. Most of us want to make an impact on the world, but let's be honest, it's really difficult to make an impact on the world if you can't pay your own bills. So we're talking a little bit today about how you can form plans and more importantly, your thoughts around money and have a real impact on the growth of your business as well as your own life. Hillary was talking to us in the last segment about the importance of having a plan and about how even as a financial planner, not having a plan for her finances was impacting her day-to-day life. So we're going to jump into that a little bit deeper, and we want to talk about how important it is to understand the flow of your money in your business and not just hand it over to a bookkeeper or an accountant and just have them deal with it and, you know, write you your check every week or every month or whatever. So, Hillary, can you dig a little deeper into that for us and talk about what parts of our money we need to understand and not just let our accountants handle?
Absolutely. Did you know that your company has a chief financial officer and that if you don't hire one, you're it? Your bookkeeper is not your CFO. And, you know, business owners are fantastic, creative, successful people with skills to bring to the world, and they get into business in most cases because they love what they do. They have a gift or an art or a talent that they want to share that's of value, and they don't want to deal with the numbers. It's not interesting. They don't feel that it's a strength. And what happens over time is your expenses tend to go up, your profit tends to go down, and then you're 3, 4, 5 years into your business completely overworked and, you know, no assets or savings or personal wealth to speak of. So that's the kind of fate I really try to help people avoid. And I really think that driving your numbers effectively and successfully can be very simple and very elegant. It doesn't have to pain you. It doesn't have to hurt. It doesn't have to be something you dread. In fact, it's akin to driving a successful race car and just opening up the hood and looking at, you know, how things are functioning in there. Your numbers really tell a story. And it's important to drive profits. Profits don't happen naturally. Right? But we as business owners don't necessarily love the experience of doing something with nothing, but that's exactly what your job is. As a business owner, you create value in the world that was not there before. So, and it's magic. It really is amazing what business owners do, and you have the opportunity to drive the success of your business by being at the helm. I recommend that you check your P&L and your balance sheet every quarter, just at the quarter. You go to your bookkeeper. You definitely need a bookkeeper, by the way. You definitely need a tax preparer. These are not things that you want to, I mean, in the beginning, you have to do your own books, right? But, it's, you know, when you've got revenue, you can outsource bookkeeping for $10 to $15 an hour. It's really inexpensive, and it can provide a system of checks and balances. But you're the CFO. You are the one who signs the checks, and you're the one who you need to watch the money going out. So every quarter, just go get your request from your bookkeeper, your P&L, and your balance sheet. You want to look at, make sure things are getting categorized correctly, and that's what gives you the opportunity to measure and track and drive profits. So profits are, historically, they've been, you know, profits is just revenue minus expenses equals profits, right? But the way that formula is written, we as business owners tend to look at revenue first. So you meet people and they say, I got a $2 million company, or I got a $500,000 company. That's top line, right? Means nothing. Means absolutely nothing. Because if you have a $2 million company and you're spending 2.5, you're bankrupt, right? And so so I really, I reverse that formula and I say revenue minus profit equals expenses. So when you put profit in, when you manage to that number, then you have your expense budget becomes a budget, becomes a hard number. You have to be ruthless with costs so that you can bring in more than you're putting out. And that's what I'm passionate about, and that's what I teach. And it can, you know, you don't have to make any drastic changes in your business today or tomorrow, but the point is, and I call the folks in my business owner training, I call them profit bosses. So profit bosses drive profit and owner income over time. And that's kind of the same, right? Your profits and your owner income are your financial rewards for the hard work and the sweat equity that you do in the world. And so I'm just really interested in helping people produce more and more profit.
That's great. Yeah, I mean, I think all too often as business owners, we focus too much externally. You know, you see a person who you aspire to be like, they've got a $1 million, a $2 million, a $20 million, you know, they're billionaires, whatever. And you don't look at the things that really mean something to you. I mean, what do you want to do with your life? What's going to really matter to you? Because, Oprah is a wonderful, impactful person who is a billionaire, but, you know, there's things that she does with her life that you may not want to do with your life. You know, Bill Gates, the richest man in the world, you know, he gave up a lot of things in the early days to be able to have the life that he lives now. And he does all of that these days because what's really important to him is what kind of things can he give to, you know, all the things that the Gates Foundation does and stuff like that. And so I like that approach, the really controlling your expenses based on a thought process of profit to be able to do the things that you want to do that go outside of the expenses of your business rather than this huge number of I want to be a multi-million dollar or multi-billion dollar corporation without any thought to, well, then what am I going to do with that? You know, or am I going to have anything to do with that?
Right. I mean, going back to something you said at the beginning of this segment about we want to do great things in the world, but how can you do great things in the world consistently when you can't pay your bills? And I liken that to when you get on the airplane and they tell you if the mask comes down, you got to fix your mask first, and then the children or people acting like children next to you. What's true in life is if your cup isn't full, yeah, you can give inconsistently, but if your cup isn't full, eventually you're going to be the one in need of handout, in need of assistance, right? And so I really work to orient people around, look, it's not about being selfish. It's just that there's no one else in the world whose job it is to fill your cup. So if you don't do it, probably it's not going to happen. And at that point, when we have enough as human beings is when we can share and do our good work. And, you know, Bill Gates is in an enviable position where he can give away the kind of money that most of us you know, are only dreaming of. So I think that's a great role model. Bill and Melinda Gates are definitely in my personal wealth mastermind. That doesn't mean I speak to them. But, you know, there are folks in the world who, when they speak publicly, I listen because I'm interested to know how they think about their wealth and their resources, and that includes, you know, their skills and abilities and passions.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually write in one of the chapters in my book where I'm talking about the way that we approach people in our lives. And I actually use a story of a gentleman that I worked with who was massively wealthy. The guy had so much money that I'm not sure that anybody really knew how much it was. But he had attained all of that wealth at the cost of everything else in his life. He was really literally the fattest individual I've ever met, probably as close as I've ever met in person to somebody who would really be like Scrooge McDuck, you know, from DuckTales. Sorry, I had kids, so I know lots about cartoons. And, I mean, he lived in this multi-million dollar house and had literally built a wall, you know, like 8-10 foot tall wall around his whole entire property to keep people out, and so that nobody could get in and nobody could see him, and he could just live in his little isolated world. And yeah, he had all kinds of money, but he had no life. You know, he never left his house.
Isn't that funny how you could just visually see with this wall around him, and, you know, all the no relationships, no friendships, kind of what was going on inside him, that he would manifest that kind of life. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. So I think that's important. I really actually like to encourage everybody to think about this during the break. Money isn't about, you know, again, going back to Scrooge McDuck, seeing how big your vat of gold coins can be so you can go swim in it. It's really about what do you want to do with the money, you know, whether it be simple things like I'd like to pay my mortgage and I'd like to have, you know, gas and heat on in the car, you know, and stuff like that. Or the bigger things that we want to impact the world with, the causes that mean stuff to us. That's what money is for. It's just a means to be able to meet those ends. And if we begin to approach money from a, I really want to pack the world in this standpoint, and this is the kind of money it takes to do that, it gives us a whole new frame of reference for how we think about money. So I'm going to encourage you during this break to start thinking about not how much money, how big a stack of coins do I need next to me, or $100 bills next to me, but rather, what do I want to impact the world with that's going to take money to do? We're going to have a commercial, and we will be right back.
Hi, I'm Sandra Yancey, founder and CEO of eWomen Network. One of my mottos for business owners is, you can't do it alone. Whether you're in the startup stage of your business or you're scaling, you can't grow without relationships to provide support, wisdom, and new customers. eWomen Network is your home to connect with other women entrepreneurs who have been where you are or are experiencing the same challenges. We have chapters across the U.S. and Canada that have monthly events featuring our trademarked process called Accelerated Networking to ensure you get the contacts, resources, and leads you need to grow your business. And once you become a member, you get many benefits, including 2 one-on-one coaching sessions, unlimited access to our membership database, your own personal profile page, and discounts on products and services with our business partners such as UPS and American Express Open. Join the eWomen Network community and let us help you live your dream. For details, visit eWomenNetwork.com.
This is the EWN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Steve Kidd, the host of Thriving Entrepreneur. I want you to know you are uniquely brilliant, created for a purpose. The world needs you, and we want to help. I work with my wife, Kathy, and together we form the business development super team, Thrive Business Development. We are here to provide you with well-researched business strategies and empowered step-by-step courageous coaching to help you avoid overwhelm and break through to the next level of your business. Just for listening to the show, we want to give you a free gift. All you have to do is email Steve at wehelpyouthrive.com. We will help you get a free gift and access to specials from all of our guests. That's Steve at wehelpyouthrive.com. Let us help you be a thriving entrepreneur today.
Welcome back to Thriving Entrepreneur.
Hi, this is Stephen Hillary, and we're here talking to you about your plans and your thoughts about money and how the approach that you take to money will impact the growth of your business. We were talking in the last segment about how important it is for you to know the profitability of your company. How much money does your company actually make? Not how much does it bring in gross, but how much money after you pay your bills and your expenses does your company actually make? And I'm really excited to talk in this segment, Hillary, because you have on your website something that I loved the sound of and I want to hear more about, and that's discovering your own unique money operation system. Can you explain that to us and tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so I mentioned it in the first segment when I talked about that research that I did out of the field of psychology and neuropsychology. Professors and academics already know this stuff, but it turns out that when it comes to money, because money is really conceptual and we made it up as human beings and it's a system we now live by, that what you believe to be true about money absolutely is the context for money in your life. For me, I believed from my childhood that there was never enough money. Now, as a sidebar, that didn't turn out to be true. My mom was just a really good saver, right? She just didn't spend money on brand name clothes like I wanted her to. But I thought there was never enough money. So in my life, I kept doing things to have that be the case. In my 20s, I got out of school. I did well in school. I was earning six figures pretty quickly here. It was the height of the dot-com boom here in Silicon Valley. And I had a good income. And so what does someone who believes that there's never enough money have to do with high income? I was an overspender. I spent every penny of it. I loved it. I still, to this day, love spending money. I just rein it in. And then there was always more month left at the end of my money. And I suffered tremendous feelings of guilt and shame. But that's just an example of how I was creating a world where there was never enough money, because that's what I believed about it. A lot of people have some version of there's never enough money. Other money operating systems I hear are, if I'm good, the universe will provide. If I'm good, you know, it will come. Another one is money is the root of all evil, which we talked about before. And, you know, those folks, they kind of conflate societal problems with living in a capitalistic society. And they're really good at finding evil, rich people to vilify. And they tend to live, like, without a lot of physical possessions. Other money operating systems, there's always enough money. Some people have that one. My husband's is money is no problem. I have clients who believe money is complicated. So you can kind of see all these different beliefs about money are valid, but they're not actually true in any real sense. They're just stories about money, right? And so when you look at what you really believe to be true about money, and then you can see all the systems in your life that you've set up to have it be that way. Some people are chronic overspenders. Some are chronic under-earners. Some people can't even deal with the numbers. And these are all outcrops of our money operating system. So part of the work that I do with people is to help them uncover that core operating system that got created when you were a child. It has to do with how money was in your growing up years, so typically has to do with your parents, and help them uncover that. And then we look at what are all the ways that you make that real in your life, and then does that work for you? Is that what you want? Does it have you on track to produce the results that you're interested in? And if not, then we have the opportunity, because money is an object in the world, we have the opportunity to take actions that supersede the programming. And, you know, in my life, I still sometimes see the symptoms of that program. There's never enough money. Every time I come across a business opportunity or something that could be really lucrative, that voice to me says, that'll never work. It'll never work. And I used to relate to that like it was true. And I've recognized that that's just a function of my programming, and now I'm able to take action and produce results anyway. So, you know, it's just something that's really interesting. People find it to be life-changing to look at, yeah, this is how money's gone for me, but I actually created it, which is so powerful to take responsibility for something like that, not as a blame, but simply as a way to give yourself power in your life to produce the results that you want. And I look around, you know, money is a very emotional subject, and I look and see that people who are, we often as a society relate to people who are in debt, who are overspenders like I was, like they're irresponsible. And I just don't. I think most people are just victims of their programming. I mean, most people are good people. They want to do well. They want to produce positive results. And they're out there going, why is this happening in my life? Like, I don't like this result. I just can't. It's like walking down the same street over and over and falling in the same pothole. So I help people unravel that aspect of their money psychology. I have people.
That makes so much sense.
And you know, it works. So I've turned my financial life around, but more important, the folks in my programs, they've paid off debt, they've multiplied their savings by, in one case, one client of mine multiplied her retirement savings by 700%. They start new businesses, they create sales for the first time. So, you know, it really works, and it's a lot of fun, and it's a big deal, right, to create financial health in people's lives. So it's really inspiring.
Financial health, I love that phrase. Because I think that really is more what all of us want than financial wealth. Because I don't think any of us that aren't wealthy really understand. I mean, you can get to know some people that are very, very wealthy and begin to understand some of that, but we don't really truly understand because we haven't really walked in their shoes. But the concept of being healthy financially is something that we can start right now here today. You don't have to wait until you've got that six-figure, seven-figure, eight-figure, billion-dollar company to finally be financially healthy. You can make that choice with every financial decision that you make starting right now, no matter how bad it was. I mean, I think that's the most freeing part of the whole thing is that there's none of it that is so bad that you can't just make a decision to change and go a different direction.
That's right. And, you know, I can't... Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to ask you, are there any secrets that you share with the people to identifying what they were operating from and then operate differently?
You bet. You want to look at what are the things that you say to yourself and other people about money. Your money operating system is the water that you swim in. It's the air that you breathe. It's like asking a fish, what is water, right? So when you start to pull this apart, you want to look at what are the things you say out loud about money. Most of us don't talk openly about money with many people, so it might be just your spouse or it might be just yourself. Notice what are the feelings that you have. So for me, I have so much just disappointment about money that I wasn't even saying to myself, there's never enough money anymore. I was just feeling bad. So you want to look at if your feelings are bad or guilt or shame about money, that's probably some version of there's never enough money. And ultimately, Steve, the way out is you make a decision. I mean, it's not rocket science. You just have to spend less than you make. And I wish that I could give to you the experience, because I still remember what it felt like to not have enough money, to have bills that I needed to pay and a car with a gas tank that I needed to fill and not to be able to do that. And now in my life, there is always enough money. Like, sometimes I open my bank account and I can't believe how much money is in there. And that's not a function of raising my income. It's a function of spending differently, making different choices, and having made a decision. My life's not going to go this way, right? So I'm not saying that I buy everything I want, but what I am saying is I'm never out of money anymore, and it's nice. There's a confidence and a peace of mind that comes with that, and I, you know, I wish I could entice people to make that decision by sharing, you know, just for a moment, here's what this is like, because it just allows for a more powerful life, a more peaceful life, and a life that involves choice, freedom of choice, right?
Right. I encourage everybody to take a minute and sit down and think about in your business what is the one thing that you really, really want to do. And then add on top of that, what does it cost? And it doesn't have to be an insurmountable cost or something to lead you into guilt or other negative feelings. But if the impact you want to make with your business is right out there in front of you, but it costs money to do that, you need to make that a priority for yourself. You need to choose yourself over those feelings that we all have. We all have the stuff that we grew up with, and our parents had them too, so it's not like they're horrible people or anything. They grew up in their money system,
right.
And may or may not have broken out of that ever. Some of them passed it on to us. A lot of parents have done a really great job of, you know, moving their children up in financial intelligence by a little bit more than what they had, but it's as far as they could even spin for their kids because they didn't have a vision of anything bigger than that. And so I really encourage you to really think about ways that you, the number one way, especially that you want to see your business grow, and then how can you make it possible for there to be the money to do that? You know, as opposed to, we tend to take kind of a shotgun approach a lot of times, especially when we're new in business, to the things, you know, we want to spend our money on our website and on our ad campaign and on, you know, all these different people and a virtual assistant and you know, just so many things, as opposed to just breaking it down to one really simple thing. If nothing else happens this year, I want to do X, and it's going to cost this much in order to do that. How do I make sure that that money's in place to do that? And then we take the next step after we've made that one step, rather than having to have to run the entire, you said earlier about, you know, taking a trip, rather than having to have to take the whole trip before we ever get in the car, how about we just get a map so that we know where we're going before we start the trip?
That's right. That's right. And to create profitable, efficient systems over time, so that one thing that you're doing, how can you do it for less cost, or how can you bring in more revenue? And the more and more you do it, the more consistent the process is, the better you get at being efficient, and that's what they call a cash cow business, something that just produces cash over and over again. And you know, that can make a lot of things possible in your business and in your life.
So during this commercial, I encourage you, think about all the things that you can make possible in your business and in your life, and we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Sandra Yancey, founder and CEO of eWomen Network. One of my mottos for business owners is, you can't do it alone. Whether you're in the startup stage of your business or you're scaling, you can't grow without relationships to provide support, wisdom, and new customers. eWomen Network is your home to connect with other women entrepreneurs who've been where you are or are experiencing the same challenges. We have chapters across the U.S. and Canada that have monthly events featuring our trademarked process called Accelerated Networking to ensure you get the contacts, resources, and leads you need to grow your business.
And once you become a member, you get many benefits, including 2 one-on-one coaching sessions, unlimited access to our membership database, your own personal profile page, and discounts on products and services with our business partners, such as UPS and American Express Open. Join the eWomen Network community and let us help you live your dream. For details, visit eWomenNetwork.com.
Hi, this is Steve Kidd, the host of Thriving Entrepreneur. I want you to know you are uniquely brilliant, created for a purpose. The world needs you, and we want to help. I work with my wife, Kathy, and together we form the business development super team, Thrive Business Development. We are here to provide you with well-researched business strategies and empowered, step-by-step, courageous coaching to help you avoid overwhelm and break through to the next level of your business. Just for listening to the show, we want to give you a free gift. All you have to do is email Steve at wehelpyouthrive.com. We will help you get a free gift and access to specials from all of our guests. That's Steve at wehelpyouthrive.com. Let us help you be a thriving entrepreneur today.
Welcome back to Thriving Entrepreneur.
Hillary, I've so appreciated you spending time here with us today talking about our financial health. Love that phrase. I'm sure many people are thinking to themselves, I'd like to hear more about this money operation system. I'd like to learn more from Hillary. What could people do to connect with you and get some training from you about their financial health?
Great. I would love to connect with you if this message resonates with you. I do have some free resources available. If you go to my website at HillaryHendershot.com, and my first name is Hillary with one L, so it's H-I-L-A-R-Y, and Hendershot is pretty phonetic with two T's at the end, HendershotT.com. You can put your name and email address in there. Right away, I'll give you my free guide, which is called How to Master Your Money Mind so you can stop worrying about money. And that delves deeper into the topics that Steve and I have talked about today. It was the topic of my TEDx talk. And, this money psychology, money operating system stuff is the core signature work that I do with people. I'm really passionate about it. So that's a free guide. And then, I'll stay in touch with you with other resources and emails that will come to you. And, my intention is to be your financial coach for life. So I'm always providing good content, relevant material, both high level and actionable steps. So I'd love it if you wanted to stay in touch. Let's definitely do that. Go to HillaryHendershot.com right now and opt in.
Great. I hope a bunch of you will just jump on there right now and go to HillaryHendershot.com and get that free gift and really start digging into this stuff with Hillary. It'll have such a huge impact on your business if you have your money in control instead of your money in control of you.
Isn't that amazing? It's a big shift, especially for business owners to go from you working for your business to your business working for you. And that's kind of the great place you want to get to.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've got a few minutes here, and if you could share with us, Hillary, what's a couple of things that a person could do, right now or this week that would really start to help empower them in how they approach business and in their money operating system and all those kind of things? What's some things that they could do right now?
Absolutely. So the first thing is, have you made that decision that Steve and I talked about earlier in the call? Are you deciding now to get things together in your financial life to create financial health? I really think you can create a demarcating moment by just declaring it, whether it's to yourself or your partner, your friends. On Facebook, you can join my Profit Boss group on Facebook and make that declaration publicly. We'll be your wealth mastermind if you like. The second step is, and I teach this, and it doesn't seem like that big of a deal, but I open my bank accounts every morning, and I have a lot of accounts. I teach a system of financial automation, so I have multiple personal accounts and multiple business accounts. I create an account for every place where I want money to pile up, and it works. It's awesome. But, just as a beginning step, you can take on a practice of opening your online banking every morning. And that way, I know how much is in every account. I can catch transactions that maybe I'm confused about. What is that? Why is that money coming out? There's a couple times I have caught erroneous charges like fraud, and that's a side benefit of this practice. But the thing is, if you're looking at your bank account balances every morning, you cannot be an ostrich with your head in the sand. This puts you in a position where you are in the know. You're aware of what's happening in your accounts, and that alone is a breakthrough for most people. And kind of the third step, and I alluded to this before, is you want to automate your savings, automate your personal finances. So you have your money that comes into your personal accounts. I create a system of accounts. I have a savings account for my next car. I have a savings account for holidays, and I automatically transfer my wages that I pay myself from my business into those savings accounts, as well as automatically transfer into my retirement savings accounts. You want to set it up so that you only have to make these decisions once, right? I decided how much is going to go into that car savings account, and I decided how much is going to go into my IRA 2 years ago. And all I do now is I go in there and I increase the numbers. But you don't want to see that money. You want to take it out of your spending accounts. It is so powerful to do this, and I can't. It's like magic where people who feel they have no wiggle room financially, they find that they actually do have enough. It's amazing what our brains do to the numbers and the money when our money programming and money wiring is faulty. So those are my three tips. I think they're super powerful, and I talk about them a lot in the content that I provide and when I do public speaking and everything I teach. It's all about automation. So I think those would be
That's
really
great.
Powerful.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I would add on top of those or along with those, because I don't think they need anything added to them, you begin to start really evaluating your thoughts about money. I had a gentleman that was speaking at a conference that said something that has totally changed my viewpoint on money. And you probably know this one really well, Hillary, but what most people don't know is that there are actually more $100 bills printed than there are $1 bills printed. And we tend in society to be chasing the dollar when, in point of fact, why couldn't we be chasing $100 bills? The truth of the matter is that often $100 bills, they stay in briefcases and in their little money wrapper things. They never come out. They just get passed from place to place in their stacks, and they get taken out every once in a while and counted, but that's as much use as they get. But we tend to think of there being a whole lot of ones out there and not a whole lot of the big bills, and that's just not true. When we begin to wrap our minds around the potential for money in our lives, as opposed to the limiting beliefs that we often were raised with, it can have such a huge impact in what we do. Hillary even talked about it earlier, she finds out later in life that her mom was just a great saver, and all this time growing up, she thought that they didn't have enough money.
Right.
I think that's a great story. So I would really encourage people that you really, really get your hands around your belief system in money. What you think about money is what's going to happen. If you don't think there's enough, you will find a way for there to not be enough. Isn't it interesting, Hillary, how that happens?
Oh,
you know,
it's just so it's unexpected when you see it. It's like, how did I manifest that result again and again and again? But your brain is so powerful, right? And
yeah,
I like the story about the $100 bills. And something I also often say is, we don't live like this, but wealth is limitless. They are not going to stop printing money anytime soon. You're never going to run up against a ceiling while there's no money left. No, that's not how it works. Every time a bank makes a loan, the bank creates money that didn't exist before. And that's happening by the tens of thousands every second of every day. So, you know, you have what you have, but it's your job as a in your financially healthy life to kind of turn the flow of money towards you until you have enough. And that's really all that there is to do. People live like money is an object that can be lost or squandered or kept, like held in the mattress. But money is not an object. Money, it's better if you think of it as a flow. So it's our job as entrepreneurs to turn the flow on. And that's what your revenue streams are. That's what your profit management is that flow of money. And all you're doing is taking a limitless resource that's out there in the world and turning it towards you. And that's our art. That's what we do.
Absolutely. The question then from there just becomes, how big do you want the pipe to be? You can have a little teeny tiny trickle flow going, or you can have a great big giant tsunami holding a massive, immense, other descriptive words that I just lost, amount of money flowing through you, because in the end, that's all it's going to do. It's either going to flow through you, or you're going to have such limiting beliefs that it's going to have to go somewhere else because it can't fit through the pipe.
Yeah. I wrote down what you said, tsunami, massive, immense. I love that. I love using those words when we're talking about money, because it's like, yeah, how big can you stand it?
Absolutely. So I encourage each one of you to spend this whole week really, really empowering yourself every day with a brand new money mindset, that money's out there, that it's coming, that it's yours, and that you're going to get it, so that you can live this week and every single week of your life as a thriving entrepreneur. Hillary, thank you so much for helping us take people to a whole new level and a whole new thought that they have on money.
Thank you, Steve, for having me. It's been really fun, and I hope that it's been really interesting and valuable and inspiring for your audience.
Absolutely. And don't forget, people, as I tell you every week, you are uniquely brilliant. You were created for a purpose. The world needs you. Use your money as a way to be able to put the uniquely brilliant you out there as much as is possible, so that the world can get as much of you as is possible. Until then, be a thriving entrepreneur and have a great week.
Thanks for listening to Thriving Entrepreneur today. If you want to get your question answered, send an email to questions@wehelpyouthrive.com. We look forward to you joining us again next time.
Hi, this is Steve Kidd, the host of Thriving Entrepreneur. I want you to know you are uniquely brilliant, created for a purpose. The world needs you, and we want to help. I work with my wife, Kathy, and together we form the business development super team, Thrive Business Development. We are here to provide you with well-researched business strategies and empowered step-by-step courageous coaching to help you avoid overwhelm and break through to the next level of your business. Just for listening to the show, we want to give you a free gift. All you have to do is email steve@wehelpyouthrive.com. We will help you get a free gift and access to specials from all of our guests. That's steve@wehelpyouthrive.com. Let us help you be a thriving Entrepreneur today.